Hunt, hunt, hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
I think Packers fans have every right to be excited about those guys. I just think they need to temper their expectations, especially when you think about that they're going to be playing with a quarterback who is trying to figure it out himself.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chew, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you. And by the Bridgewater Modern Grill, nestled in the heart of Milwaukee's emerging Harbor District. Enjoy a specialty crafted menu centered around a custom oak-fed grill.
And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life.
Is this Jason Wilde's preferred walk-up song for today, opening day?
It was, as he was driving to X-Golf at AmFam Field to do his show live. He texted in and said, I'd like this to be my walk-up song. And I said, Jason, I got your back.
Good morning, Jason. It's an optimism-only day here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, which you know I've already broken because I was complaining about banning the shift. So go figure. I am wildly inconsistent and you should expect nothing less, really.
That's why we love you, right? You're slightly predictable and slightly cynical. Yeah. this is one of my favorites. I'm not a big Monty Python guy generally, but Spamalot is a terrific musical. And as I listened to you make this a optimism only zone, I thought you're like that song. Always look on the bright side of life, at least for the next hour and 36 minutes until you go about the rest of your day.
That's exactly right. And although Gabe Neitzel did say that it is going to be difficult because we do want to talk to you about Matt LaFleur talking about Jordan Love.
You know, it is what it is.
I was about to say, Jen, it is what it is.
Did Matt LaFleur do Jordan Love dirty there, Jason? Because that was my reaction to hearing that.
No, I don't think so at all. And you know, first of all, I want to say, Gabe, outstanding job going through all the different rules changes in baseball. And describing it as, especially with the shift, it looking a little more like we might remember in high school or in Little League, or in your case, college. I'm old school. In fact, I'm wearing like the old Brewers glove logo sweatshirt today, trying to pretend that I'm some sort of fan. And I'm really eager to see what baseball looks like with all these different rules, you know, the limit on pickoffs and the pitch clock and all this other stuff. I'm intrigued and I'm skeptical, but I know I'm not allowed to be skeptical on the program, so I'll move on.
Matt LaFleur seemed a little skeptical on Jordan Love.
Right. And good on him. Like I was just listening to, not only this program, but then my usual walk-up Tecmo Bowl music and the little clip that Ashton has in there right now, I use the exact same phrase. I'm talking about Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs and then Jordan Love by extension, but I said temper our expectations, and that's what Matt LaFleur said, and I thought, you know, and I was going to text Matt this once he got back from Phoenix. I thought he did an outstanding job at breakfast. I didn't go this year. I think I kind of want to go back to going to the NFL meetings because there's a lot that goes on there. But he, first of all, what he said about Rodgers, I thought it was, no matter how much of a dink you think Rodgers is or a kook or a hippie weirdo or a liar or a playoff choker, or whatever you think about him. And you are entitled to all those opinions if you're a Packers fan. Whichever ones you choose, you can choose those. And I certainly would say that he is far from perfect. And there are things about this scenario that we find ourselves in today that Aaron Rodgers absolutely, undoubtedly deserves criticism for. But I thought what Matt LaFleur said about how much he benefited and his coaches benefited and other players benefited. I thought he nailed it. And Bill Huber from Sports Illustrated did a really good column about it. I mean, is Alan Lazard getting 4 years, $44 million from the New York Jets if he didn't play with Aaron Rodgers?
Probably like, not.
Is Joe Barry still a defensive coordinator? Is Matt LaFleur working on his second contract with the Packers? Is Brian Gutekunst working on his second contract with the Packers? Do we have Titletown in Green Bay? Like, I always said that Brett Favre got the redeveloped Lambeau Field built, and Rodgers got Titletown built. Winning does that. And one of my pet peeves about Mark Murphy and some other folks over at 1265 Lombardi Avenue is that they think it's their brilliance that leads to Titletown and people going on stadium tours and people going through the Hall of Fame. And certainly there are diehard fans who do that. But if your numbers spike for tours, it's probably because the team is winning. And Aaron Rodgers had a huge part in that, no matter how disappointed he might have been with some of their playoff exits. So I thought that, first of all, LaFleur did a great job on that. And then I love the fact that he actually made the effort to tamp down expectations for a first-year starter. Like, we have all the evidence in the world of how hard it is, no matter if you start as a rookie or you start as a first- or second-year player, or in Jordan Love's case, a third-year player, how hard it is to be really good the first time you're a starter. And the general manager who drafted him has had a few comments that have reminded people that we need to be patient, but more often than not, absolutely he's ready to be a starter, stuff like that. And I thought the coach did a really good job of not ripping his new quarterback, but laying the foundation for people to be a little more realistic, as opposed to the folks, and there's a few people that have Substacks and whatever else, that are anointing him as the second coming of Aaron Rodgers. And I just don't think that that's realistic to expect from him in the short term.
Jason Wilde hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning, talking a little Packers on opening day for your Milwaukee Brewers. We were discussing this in our production meeting this morning, Jason. Should the Jets be willing to wait for the Packers, rather? Or because I've heard this idea of, why wouldn't you, if you're the Jets now, just at least make it seem as though you were interested in Lamar Jackson or some other option, which I don't think there are a ton of them out there, to be perfectly honest with you, as part of this strategy thing to force the hand. Are we past the whole forcing the hand thing? These guys like each other so much, and Joe Douglas and Brian Gutekunst, that they're not going to play games. They're just going to hope that somebody caves or gives in. Like, do the Jets have any other plays here other than wait?
Well, the most important play that they have is to not have their owner, who admitted he was anxious to get a trade done, suddenly say, just give him the 13th pick and let's be done with it. Now, Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports had a really interesting column.
Really good.
And part of that I thought was fascinating. And look, I'm reading between the lines here because Charles did not write it, that it sounded to me like maybe the owner himself was like, dude, we're not giving up a first-round pick for a guy who can't even promise us that he's going to play in 2024. And so, you know, they're now at this point where there's a, you know, kind of this impasse, and Goody has, at least according to what Goody said himself in Phoenix, moved off demanding the 13th overall pick. And now the latest sticking point is that the Jets want some sort of a give-back pick in 2025 if Rodgers ends up not playing in 2024. Look, again, I understand everybody wants a king's ransom for Rodgers. If I'm the Jets, and I know we've spent the last 2+ weeks since Rodgers went on McAfee debating who has the greater amount of leverage, but I thought there was some real honest, from both sides, discussion of where they stand. Certainly the Packers would love picks, the sooner the better. And they want to get help for Jordan Love. And quite frankly, given their depth charts at wide receiver and tight end, they clearly are going to have to draft players at those positions because they've kind of missed the free agent boat at them. So they want draft picks right away. And I think the Jets are honest when they say, yeah, it would be great to have Rodgers at our offseason program. But the bottom line is, as long as he's there for the start of training camp, we're not really all that worried. And so we're not feeling pressure. So, you know, pretending that they're interested in Lamar Jackson, I guess, would be a play, Jen. But I don't think they need to do that. I think they're in a good place as long as their owner doesn't panic.
Well, Jason, you brought it up. So does this mean we're going to see Sammy Watkins come back to the Green Bay Packers? Because who else is out there to be a veteran in that room?
Yeah, I think Geronimo Allison might still be available.
Ooh.
I got along great with Sammy. I certainly went in with higher expectations than I had any right to have for him, and I was completely wrong. And he does, I'll say this, he definitely speaks honestly, whether it's, you know, telling the world that he missed the signal from Rodgers when they lost the Lions in Detroit, and that's something that obviously is a challenge for people that are new, and maybe if you spent more time with them, they would know them better. And then going to Baltimore and basically saying, yeah, there's a bunch of guys in this locker room who are wondering, you know, with a chance to be a Super Bowl team, why our quarterback's not playing injured. So I would welcome Sammy back with open arms, but I don't see that as a play. This is one of the many problems with the way, you know, Goody, it feels like to me that there is at least a portion of the fan base that are just all Goody stands. And I don't know. I like to think of myself as trying to see both sides of everything. It doesn't work in political discourse, and I'm finding it doesn't work in Packers discourse either. Like, I think Goody's done some really good things. He's had some really good draft picks. But I think it's a complete fallacy that he's been active in free agency beyond 2019, and you can say it's because of their cap situation, and that's a fair argument as well. But I don't think his draft picks have been very good. He's had some very good ones, and then he's had entirely too many who haven't been good. And then some that people want to be really excited about that the jury is very much still out on.
Hey, Jason, but I don't think that it's a Goody thing, to be honest with you. I don't think that people are out here standing for Goody. I think Goody represents the franchise. And there are people, because Gabe said this the other day, like it's almost a begrudgingly siding with Goody because he represents the Green Bay Packers that Gabe is going to continue having a relationship with even after Aaron Rodgers is gone.
Maybe, but there are some people that are much more adamant in their support of him on social media, and maybe that's also tied to their hatred for the quarterback. But the bottom line is that they have put themselves, unlike Ted, who certainly had his shortcomings, Ted always made sure that his quarterbacks were plied with lots of offensive weapons, right? I would say that you look at his drafts and there were a lot of wide receivers taken. Now, not all of them were great, but most of them really were really, really good players. And Goody had the 2018 draft where he went fourth, fifth, and sixth round at receiver. Then he, as he does with pretty much every third round pick he makes, whiffed on the third round pick in Amari Rodgers. And then finally, last season, went after trading away the best wide receiver in football and went and got second round, fourth round, seventh round wide receivers. Well, now you don't have like that guy who's going into year three or year four who has emerged as a really reliable guy. You just let Alan Lazard walk, which I have no problem with. But, you know, now you've got a young quarterback who is going to be a first year starter, and who's he got at tight end? I like Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs at wide receiver, but they are going to have lots of growing pains still. They are second year players. And I'll add to that a young quarterback. I think they've put themselves in a very difficult position offensively with the way they have built this roster over the years. And, again, Christian Watson could be a really, really good player. He had a four-game stretch where he was awesome. But wouldn't it be nice, and I wouldn't have Jordan Love if this was the case, but wouldn't it be nice to have, like, T. Higgins as, like, you're now your number one after you traded away Davante Adams? Like, they're in a position where they have not put around Jordan Love a ton of offensive talent to make it easier on him to be successful in his first year as a starter.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great show live from X Golf at AmFam Field, and we'll talk to you again soon.
See you out there, buddy.
I will keep listening and staying with you on my drive as I come up on Mequon. So keep up the great work and keep up the positivity.